This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you on the 19th of April, 2019. Good Friday for those that are observant of such things. So let's start off with the general market. The dollar index surged to a two-year high recently, gapping actually last week. Most foreign currencies are not doing nearly as well as the dollar. And of course, this is putting pressure on the gold market. So dollar at a two-year high, something to pay attention to. Continuing, the railroad stocks actually are leading the transportation index and the industrial sector higher. So there is a continuing widening spread on the yield curve. We have seen this inversion continue, and we're seeing, again, as I said, gold's getting some pressure, but copper's actually handling it better than gold. And there is some speculation out there that that could be due to the fact that, even though we're getting mixed reports on this, that China's actually not doing as bad as some believe. Although I'm in the camp that there is a global slowdown, as I've been saying week after week on these weekly perspectives. Nonetheless, copper is indicating somewhat that perhaps there is more to this electric vehicle market and more robust strength in copper that may be signaling that perhaps things are not deteriorating to the level that I do think. Anyway, pressing on. So let's start with debt, one of my favorite topics every week on the weekly perspective. This is from Wolf Street, Wolf Richter. I like it. It's a great article. He does some really good stuff as far as I'm concerned, talking about who really owns the United States debt. What's interesting is this first graphic here. It shows the debt ceiling around, I don't know, $16.8 trillion. And of course, the vote comes in, well, let's raise the debt ceiling. And the debt ceiling is like at $18.2 trillion. And up, we hit the ceiling. Let's have a vote and raise the debt ceiling. And on it goes. So these debt ceilings, I remember when it was first enacted, I thought, oh, wow, how cool is that? But I had my doubts that it would do any good whatsoever. And of course, it has done none other than cause some rhetoric in the mainstream financial press is about it. It really hasn't done anything to put our financial house in order. I'm speaking in the United States. So he goes on to talk about China not having holding as much debt as it used to. Japan and China both having large amounts, but not as much as they used to. Talked about China dumping their debt, the U.S. debt I'm talking about. And then this graphic here pretty much points it all out. So the $22 trillion U.S. debt, who owns it? This is a broad brush, of course, but $7.7 trillion by U.S. institutions and individuals, the Federal Reserve about $2.2 trillion, U.S. government entities about $6 trillion, and foreign holders about $6 trillion as well. So are we at the mercy of foreign holders? The answer is, not necessarily. Certainly, it has an impact. I'm not saying otherwise. What I'm suggesting here is that if you look at it, you've got U.S. institutions and U.S. government entities hold the lion's share of the United States debt. Quickly here on Zero Hedge, which I actually haven't featured for a week or two. IBM tumbles after reporting worst revenue in 17 years as cloud hits air pocket. You know, there's an old adage that as GM goes, so goes America. You can make that. This is when America was more, we'll talk more about the 50s, 60s, perhaps even the 70s. I would say that IBM probably is a better indicator as far as this technical world that we're in the service economy, et cetera. And IBM takes a hit. Something to pay attention to. I'm not going to belabor the point. I just think it's interesting. I thought it was a great article. You can read it on Zero Hedge. I'm not going to go over any more of it than that, that it's another indicator that my premise that things are contracting, things are slowing down, and that there is a shift in the economy, that things are not as well as they are purported to be. And Charles Hughes Smith, great thinker. I love to meet the man. I hopefully will at some point. Maybe we'll meet at a conference. I don't know if he does them or not. But regardless, next financial crisis won't be caused by fraud. This time it will be different. And he goes on to point out that basically you can only inflate for so long. At some point, as the Mises Institute and von Mises himself said, you get the crack-up boom. You get the point where the trust fails. The confidence fails. And this is, I'm ad-libbing here, kind of what this article is all about. But there's a point in time where there is a crisis that's caused just by the sheer fact that this whole system is based on a lie. You cannot print wealth forever. Yes, you can stimulate the economy. Yes, it can have an effect, but it only works for so long. Once people catch on to what's really going on, you can have a shift really quickly in what people will do with their money and what they'll do to protect it. And this is going to take place. In fact, it already has taken place in some areas. We just haven't seen it to the level that most people will actually acknowledge it. It did happen in 2008. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But a lot of people that weren't affected directly by it really refused to call it a financial crisis or basically forgotten about it or believe that things are back on track and that it won't happen again. The next one will, and it will actually be probably much worse than what we witnessed in 2008. Whether or not the government, the banks, or anything else is able to come to the rescue remains to be determined. Jim Rickards has thought about it probably as much as anyone, and he talks about the SDR and, you know, the bankers' banks coming in, the World Bank, and all that. And I certainly wouldn't rule it out, and I think it probably would be attempted, but whether or not it works or not remains to be determined, and they may not try that. They may not get that far. It's going to be interesting. Doesn't mean everything ends, doesn't mean everything stops, but it does mean is a huge shift in the financial markets from those that are over-leveraged, basically getting killed, to those that are prudent and are living within their means and have capital or liquidity available, doing much better. So the main idea here is to be out of debt, own what you own, don't be leveraged or very slightly leveraged, be able to cover the leverage if you can, and play it on a conservative basis. If you are leveraged to the hilt in any sector, be it gold or real estate or the stock market, anything, bonds, whatever, that is a place you really want to be careful, because when this thing contracts, it's going to contract probably in a hurry. And just a headline to further my premise about the contraction, more stores closing, Pier 1 Imports could close up to 145 more stores. Kind of a specialty place. I actually like Pier 1, not to care what I think, but I always find those would be kind of fun stores to go through. But this is, again, contracted economies. It's all because we're shopping on the internet, not necessarily shows. So basically, less disposable income. There's lots of reasons, but basically it is a contraction in the economy. Well, North Korea back in the news. I haven't had time to really study this, so I'm just going to look at the headline and tell you basically what this article says. But North Korea test fires a new tactical guided weapon. I read a little bit about this. It's a new type of tactical guided weapon announced Thursday was possibly an attempt to register displeasure with the deadlock of nuclear talks with the United States without causing those coveted negotiations to collapse. So something to pay attention to. There's been rumors for a very long time about North Korea and others having an EMP capability, meaning they could launch a mini nuke into the atmosphere over the United States and basically take out a lot of the infrastructure electronically due to an EMP, man-made EMP nuke blast in the atmosphere. I'm not saying that's what this is or that's what was being tested here. I'm just bringing to your attention that that has been a rumor for a very long time. Another one that I haven't harped on much but needs to be talked about, and that's the coming situation in the food industry. There's a lot of problems that will take place in the grains. If you're a futures market enthusiast, you might be looking at all the foods. You're looking at what could happen to wheat prices in the future due to these weather conditions throughout the world, really. And this is one about China. Viral outbreak in China might make dinner more expensive for everybody. The African swine fever disease has spread beyond China, the world's biggest producer of pork. That will drive up global pork prices, experts say. And so you're going to see meat prices. Pork's gone up, I think, 70%. It's gone up quite a bit. And the grains are going to go up. And we're going to have, in my view, and a studied one, that we will be seeing increases in food prices here over the next few years. So be prepared. If you want to buy, you know, stored food or whatever, it might not be a bad idea. It depends on your personal situation. I'm not pushing it, but something to consider. And certainly buy, you know, what you want, what you're going to really eat. You don't want to buy stuff that you're not going to use. But if you get something on sale or whatever and you got a freezer, you know, it's time to take advantage of that. I do really think that you're going to see over the next year or two, a lot of people complaining about food prices. And it's going to be, again, as this article says, it's not going to be local. It's not going to be U.S. only. It's not going to be a global situation. And on the gold front, I'm taking an article from Rick Mills. We put him on our blog from time to time. I think he's a good thinker, and he does some good articles. This one, how central bank gold buying is undermining the dollar, or he could put U.S. dollar. It doesn't really matter. Central banks basically backed up the truck. They're buying a lot of gold. He's on to talk about it. But the bottom line here is, why are they buying gold? It talks about Russia and Turkey primarily at the beginning of the article, and he says, and there you have it. The reason for central banks' recent accumulation has little to do with safe havens and a lot to do with chipping away at the U.S. dollar's role as the reserve currency. This article will explain what's happening. So going from the petrodollar, dollar-controlled hegemony that's been the global standard for so long into people like the BRICS and others basically getting away from the dollar. I said earlier in this perspective was how much debt Japan and China have, but it's less than they used to. Basically, a lot of nation states and others are exiting the dollar slowly, purposefully, and there's a reason for it. The dollar will not be the reserve currency forever. There are too many things going on in the global economy with what's happening in so many arenas, that you will see more and more pressure on the dollar. And as that happens, of course, that's more pressure on gold to the upside. Momentarily, dollar strong, 2-year high, said that at the beginning of this, and putting pressure on gold. I told members of the Morgan Report that there are cases out there made by some analysts that think that gold is going to get creamed one more time, and I didn't rule it out. I said 1280 was basically the level to be careful, and if you have a big position, you might want to hedge at that point. We did get below 1280 this week, so beware. I don't think it's going to go a lot lower, but time will tell. The markets know more than anyone. And until next week, remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth. This is David Morgan. I'll be back with you next week with another weekly perspective.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.